And let's take a look at verse 10. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed, even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar.
All right, there's a couple things I want you to pay attention to. It's interesting how many times he's used after the tabernacle's anointed. Now, there's a lot of teaching on anointing. And I find very few people even understand what anointing is. Anointing is when that tabernacle was set apart. And people talk about, well, boy, the preacher was really anointed today. Well, if he's been set apart by God, he was anointed at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's anointed at midnight. He's set apart. And there's a difference between anointing and inspiration. Just because you're set apart doesn't mean the inspiration is on you. But if you take someone who's set apart and inspired by God, then it's powerful. You with me? And so the one who is set apart is yielding to that consecration so the presence of God can be revealed. Well, that's what the tabernacle is doing. It's not to be used for any other purpose so the presence of God can be revealed. You see that? Mm-hmm. So it's a setting apart. And then the other thing, and note this is the leaders of the 12 tribes that are bringing a dedication offering. Dedication, consecration, we're one and the same. And then the Lord said to Moses, I want you to look at this. There's a divine order.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to take only one leader's offering a day. In other words, it will take 12 days, but you do one a day to receive their offerings. Now, you follow this, and I think the chart, we may need to flip that chart around. We'll flip it around. I'll do that. But you'll find that the order they offered their offerings was the order in which they camped and broke camp. Judah first, and then following that order. Let me flip this around.
I think you're going to see that.
Well, you can see it here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it there.
What we're going to find out, too, is each one of these princes, the leaders of these tribes, brought the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Heather asked me, she said, do I have to read all this? I said, of course you have to read all this. Our objective is when you go through is that you will have gone through the Bible verse by verse. Now, you're going to look at this and you're going to say, it is so redundant, right? But I want you to think about this. This is a record that's being taken, do you understand, of who gave what.
Right.
And so it doesn't say that so-and-so gave the same as so-and-so. It itemizes what each one of these leaders gave. Each one of them gave the exact same thing. The first day, Judah gives this. Okay? And then it just follows suit. And so there is a purpose for having it documented like that, because I've read it before and I thought, why in the world didn't they say that the leaders all gave the same thing?
Yeah.
We could have shortened the chapter, right?
Yeah.
But it's a documentation. This is an accurate record given an account. This man, by name, gave this. This man, by name, gave this. So just bear that in mind as Heather reads these things.
Okay, here we go. Verse 12.
Once you read Judah, I'll make a comment, then you can just go on and read through the rest of them, okay?
That sounds good. Okay. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nathan, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. One spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, five lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nathan, the son of Amminadab.
Okay. I want you to see that what they're offering is of value. Okay?
Yeah.
That 130 shekels, sanctuary shekels, is like 3 1/4 pounds. Have you ever had 3 1/4 pounds of silver? Think about it.
That's a lot of silver.
Then it talks about the silver bowl weighing 70 shekels. That's 1 3/4 pound. And I'm going by the Bible dictionary on equivalents here, okay? And then he brings a gold container weighed 10 shekels. That's 4 ounces of gold. And so when you start adding these things up, Ben, you're talking a very generous gift that's being given. And of course, obviously, that's full of incense. Then he talks about the bull, the ram, the goat, the 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 rams of first year as a peace offering. And so if you want to put a monetary value on this, we're talking a lot of money
mm-hmm.
that each of these leaders is offering to the Lord. Okay?
Okay. On the second day.
No, keep reading.
Yes, sir. Nathanael, the son of Zuar, the prince of Issachar, did offer. He offered for his offering 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering.
That should be meal offering. Anywhere the King James is using meat offering, it's a grain offering. It's not meat. I don't know why they said meat. But if you look the Hebrew word up, it's going to tell you a grain offering. A meal offering. What's flour? It's not beef. Okay. Okay.
1 spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nathanael, the son of Zuar. On the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, the prince of the children of Zebulun, did offer. His offering was 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering.
Now, are you following the order on the chart? To where you watch this and see if it doesn't match the way they were to march when they broke camp.
1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon.
Now, what you see is these three tribes, they're the ones camped on the east side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Judah first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follow that. That's how they gave their offerings each day. Okay?
On the fourth day, Eleazar, the son of Shedir, prince of the children of Reuben, did offer. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering. One golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eleazar, the son of Shedir. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, prince of the children of Simeon, did offer. His offering was one silver charger, weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, the son of Dul, prince of the children of Gad, offered. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, a silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Dul. And on the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Aminahud, prince of the children of Ephraim, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Elishama, son of Aminahud. And on the eighth day, Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, prince of the children of Manasseh, his offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. And on the ninth day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, the prince of the children of Benjamin, offered. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering. one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Abiadan, the son of Gideoni. And on the 10th day, Ahiezer, the son of Aminashaddai, the prince of the children of Dan, offered. His offering was 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahiezer, the son of Aminashaddai. And on the 11th day, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, the prince of the children of Asher, offered. His offering was 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl was 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a meal offering, 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And on the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Enan, the prince of the children of Naphtali, offered. His offering was 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meal offering, 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Enan.
Let's keep reading.
Okay. This was the dedication of the altar. In the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel, 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold. Each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks, the rams 12, the lambs of the first year 12, with their meat offering, and the kids of the goats for sin offering 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offerings were 20 and 4 bullocks, and the rams 60, and the he-goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar. After that, it was anointed. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of the one speaking unto him off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the 2 cherubim, and he spoke unto him.
Now, that's probably the first time some of you in this class has ever read all 89 verses of Numbers, okay? So, people don't want to read it. They say, well, that's redundant. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm of this opinion, if God put it in the Bible, read it. Okay? Now, I want to draw your attention to the 89th verse.
Yeah.
Because it tells us something that I don't think people realize. After they've made their offering, their dedication offering, and all this is done, Moses goes in to the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. Now see, Aaron could only go into the, as a high priest, could only go into the Holy of Holies one time a year. Moses could go anytime. Moses would go in and talk with the Lord. The Lord would communicate with him from there. So after this offering is made, Moses goes in to that Holy of Holies and the tent of meeting, congregation, okay? And it says he heard a voice speaking to him from, the King James Version says mercy seat. The Hebrew says lid, the covering on top that had the cherubim. That's where God, where God was speaking to Moses from. And I don't have a problem with saying mercy seat because it's definitely the mercy of God that has cut a covenant with us, and that lid is over the covenant, you understand? And so God is speaking to Moses from the Holy of Holies. You with me? Now, as I was looking at that, this thought came to me. The Lord spoke to Moses from behind the veil. God speaks to us from behind the veil of flesh.
Amen.
God spoke to Moses where no man saw or heard. God speaks to us where no man sees or hears. Only you heard what God said to you.
That's good.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And so it's a secret place, a very private place.
Yeah.
And so people are so often are looking God for God to speak to them through the flesh. Mm. God speaks to you behind the flesh where the heart is. God looks on the heart of man. God communicates with your heart. He's not impressed with your outside. What is going to impress him, if you can impress God, would be the heart of man being true to God. You understand?
Yeah.
So you can just think about that. The next time you want to hear God, you're going to have to get the flesh out of your thinking and go in the deep regions and pay attention. The psalmist says it this way, be still and know. Be still. Get quiet and know. I've had the Lord say that to me many times. Be still. You've asked me to speak to you. Be still. Now, it's amazing that he can tell me to be still, but he won't tell me the rest of it until I get still. Give me the respect that I'm due. Give me your undivided attention is what he's saying. I know my dad used to say, boy, are you paying attention to me? I was then. You understand? God wants our undivided attention.
You know, that is so good. I appreciate you sharing that God speaks to us behind the veil of flesh. One of the things we were talking about this afternoon is, and Pete said this, and it just stuck out to me. He said, my meetings with God, with the Lord, with Jesus, aren't with coffee and donuts. And that's so profound if you think about it. Because if we're feeding the flesh, or your focus is on the flesh, it's not on the spirit. But how many times have you ever been to a church, and there's coffee and there's donuts? And that's just, you just take that for what it's worth. But here's what I see in that. If I am paying attention to my flesh, I'm not going to be hearing in the spirit.
Did you know that in this modern day, especially if you want to call it charismatic services or whatever, thing, you know, it's become a fad. for people to say, I have a word for you, or the Lord said this, and I hear my heart. I believe God does speak. I believe in the word of knowledge. I believe in the word of wisdom. You understand?
Right.
I believe in prophetic things. But so often it's flesh talking to flesh, not the spirit talking to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say they have a word, but that word is a word they devised in their heart. It may be a good word because they're wanting a good thing for you. And so they'll tell you something that they think you want to hear, and they'll try to encourage you. Well, it's fine to encourage somebody, but don't tell them God said if God didn't say it. You with me? You can exhort people and encourage people out of your heart, just out of a compassion for them. But to say the Lord says, now you're saying God's signatures on what I'm about to say. And that's an awesome thing. Okay? And people often are coming up to the flesh wants to hear something. I've been called at my house. Do you have a word for me?
Hmm.
I've had people to come in here and ask me, do you have a word for me? I've had people to come up to me after a service and say, do you have a word for me? If I get a word from the Lord for you, rest assured that I will tell you what the Lord has to say. But I'm not going to try to fabricate something just to satisfy you. You understand? But what's the Lord say? Study the Bible. That's a good start.
Yeah.
And hear what the Lord's speaking to you out of the Word of God. Now, I said all that to protect you, because I have heard so much spoken in the name of the Lord that I'll promise you, God didn't say it. Doesn't match His word, or doesn't match His character, or my spirit doesn't bear witness to what's being said. I've had people to prophesy over me, and I knew it wasn't God. You understand? I knew it wasn't God. Didn't bear witness to it. And some of the things has been... One lady came up to me and said, I've got a word for you, and it wasn't even coherent. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about if you would write it down on a piece of paper, you'd read it, you say, what in the world is that? I didn't even know what she was saying. I don't even know if she did. Because it made no sense. If God has a word for you, you will understand what God is saying to you. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
He won't even have to speak a paragraph. He can give you a phrase and you'll know exactly what he's talking about. He's not confused. And he's certainly not the author of confusion. So you guard your heart and you be cautious who you let speak into your heart. You with me? Devil will give you a word and lead you away from God instead of to God. The devil may tell you what you want to hear. The Spirit of God may be saying to you what you don't want to hear to correct you. So you be cautious which voice you're following. Amen. And don't look to the flesh to hear from God. God is spirit. And spirit is going to communicate with your spirit. Not with your reasoning. Not through your senses. He's going to go right to the depth of your heart. Behind the veil, so to speak. Okay?
Very good. Thank you. Chapter 8. This chapter documents the lighting of the candelabrum and the consecration of the Levites. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lit the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses.
So this candelabrum, if I understand it right, it had no dimensions. There was a specified amount of gold that candelabrum was to be made from. And it was to be forged as one piece. And so when you see about the knops and the tubes and the various things that he's talking about, that's out of forged gold. And you see these tubes come up, and this is, it's not like a candle as we know it. But this would be, the way it functions would be more like a kerosene lantern. In other words, there's a reservoir of fuel supplying a wick. That's why they were to trim the lamps every morning when they snuffed them out, okay? And so this is supplying. So you have seven, three on this side, three on that side, and then the main shaft making the seven candles. So what he's giving the instruction to Aaron is, all right, now this tabernacle has been consecrated, the dedication has taken place, now it's time to light the candles on the candelabrum. And so Aaron did as he was told to do. Now, Moses was told, and Moses conveys it to Bezalel, you make that exactly like the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the candlestick? What do the candles do? They give illumination, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about what this candelabrum's doing, it's giving illumination. So what's that pointing to? The oil being the Spirit, the oil is pointing toward the Holy Spirit, which is supplying the fuel for the illumination. And so it's the Spirit of God that gives us the illumination. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's why that oil could not be duplicated. It was a death penalty to duplicate that oil. You read it, and the ingredients, that was special ingredients of that oil. And so this is supplying light. The light supplied to us is by the Spirit. Our being the light to the world, the illumination that we're to give the world is to be by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Not what you think, not your opinion, but what God's saying. We give them what God says. You with me? Okay.
And so what wasn't duplicated, there was also incense that was presented, right? And that had a recipe that
could not be. Well, of course, the incense, if you walked in the tabernacle, the candelabrum was on the left side. The golden altar of incense was straight in front of you on this side of the veil, okay, that you could see. And then the golden table of showbread was to your right. That was the order that God set up. Now, when that candle was lit in the evening, that candelabrum, incense was offered on the golden altar. As Heather said, that was a special ingredient, incense. If you duplicated that, you put that on your body as perfume, you would be killed. It was a death penalty. Okay? I believe the incense is the symbolism of worship to the Lord. The incense is being offered to the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. You don't give no pseudo-worship. You give a pure worship, and the only way that can come is out of your spirit. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so you see two things here that are not to be duplicated, which I think are pointing to, both of them are dealing with the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God stimulates our worship to the Lord. What are we sending up before the Lord? Is it pleasing to the Lord? You understand? If I'm not saying things to you that's in agreement with God, it's not pleasing to God. If I'm not sending things up to God that's pleasing to God, that's in agreement with God, it's not pleasing to Him. And so a lot of what you see is just false information, world information, religious information, or a false worship, a pseudo-worship, a form of godliness. Just a form. And God is not wanting form. He's wanting the reality. He's wanting the truth of this thing. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. Our time's up, so okay. we can come back and pick up with this in our next session.
Okay, very good.
You learning anything? Good. Now, you know why you learn it? To apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What good is knowledge that's unapplied? Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. I want you to think about this. You lift up your countenance. Your brightness makes us shine. You think about Moses in the presence of God. What did he do? It affected Moses' appearance. When he puts his face towards you, and that shining on you, it's going to affect how people see you. You understand? Thank God he face shines on us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.